Good morning. A blessed first Sunday in October to you. We're very glad that you could be here this morning where God has gathered us around his word and his sacraments. A few announcements this morning to commend to your care. First is the Mary Martha Guild is beginning their nut sale. So there are order forms available in the Trinity Weekly News. And then there's also, I think, order forms available in the Narthex. We do continue in-person Sunday school today. That's for all grades K to 12, so we will be meeting after church. And then today we also have the joy of being able to gather again in person for adult Bible study. So again, Pastor Thiem will be leading that, and then he will also be leading tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. the Bible study. So we have the joy of being able to gather in person again for that. Youth will also meet today at 3 o'clock in person in the church, and then the youth group will also be going to Shrux on the 18th for the corn maze, so information forthcoming on that. And then tomorrow we start our mask and no singing service at 4:30. So if you are a little bit hesitant about coming back, we do are looking forward to offering that, and then Holy Communion tomorrow at 4:30, and then again at 6. Any other announcements for God's people this morning? Donna? Lord's richest blessings on your worship. We begin by following our opening hymn, Divine Service Setting 1, Hymn 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. Lord's blessings this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We just deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out of a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
We continue with our sermon hymn, number 571, "God So Loved the World That He Gave."
Mercy and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you, dearly beloved of the Lord. Please be seated. It was probably some 30 plus years ago. There was a newspaper article And there was a column, actually, in Dear Abby. And one of those columns, they wrote one time that said, Dear Abby, a young man from a wealthy family was about to graduate from high school. And it was custom in that very affluent neighborhood that when you graduated, you received a car. Well, they had hunted for months to find that car. And about a week before graduation, they found the perfect car. And then on the eve of graduation, his father handed him a gift-wrapped Bible. And when Bill received that Bible, he became angry and he threw it down and walked out. And he never would talk to his father again. And the two never did talk. The next time that Bill had contact is when he found out his father had died. And Bill came home again. And as he was going through the night, through some of the possessions that he would inherit, he came across that Bible. He dusted it off, and he found in it a cashier's check for the exact amount of the car, dated the day of his graduation. With the gifts that we are given, what do we do? What is their purpose? God has given us many gifts. Our Heavenly Father has given us gifts, to be sure. He has given us gifts of clothing, house, home. He's given us gifts of talents and skills. He's given us gifts of jobs and money for many. He's given the gift of school for some. Why? And he's given us the gifts of one another. Why did he give us all these gifts, and for what purpose do they serve? We, throughout life, look at those and think about those and consider them. Today, there's a parable that Jesus tells in the Matthew text. And it is another gift that God gives. The way the parable speaks, it says that the kingdom of heaven, there was a master whose house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press and built a tower and leased it out to tenants and went to another country. This is a parable about a vineyard that's been well prepared, dug, and the land is cleared, things are set in place, the plants are planted, it begins to grow. He even had set up a hedge around the edge to protect it, a tower in which you would watch. And when they say tower, it's not quite these big towers, but a place where someone would stand and could watch over the fields, and a lot of times they were on inclines. And the wine press even was prepared for the time the fruit came. And when it says dug a wine press, really it's a stone, and they probably chiseled out. And if you've been to the village of Nazareth, they have one there you can see. And he got it ready. And he gave it to the tenants. But do you think God really wants to tell us about vineyards here? Is that what it's all about? If you want to see vineyards, go to Roachport, go to Herman. A lot of work put into them. The owner is God. Simple and plain. What's the vineyard? Isaiah lets us know that we read today, gives us a hint towards that. The gift that God has given us is the church. And everything we need is there. He has given us the gift of His holy word for the church and the congregations that you're in. given us the gift of, within that church, that is a gift itself, holy baptism, and gives in us the Lord's Supper. He's given us the forgiveness of sins. He's given us one another to encourage and use our talents and skills for one another, to build one another up. Some of you serve as organists or handbells or choir or directors. Some of you have been given the gift as teachers, and some of you count for the church, and some of you do altar guild. Some of you worked on trustees or do landscaping or work and paint, and there are so many areas I can't go. And sometimes the church, it goes beyond, not only here, but for the kingdom of God and the church. It's out in the field as a teacher in a public school, maybe, as a banker. He's given us gifts to be there for one another. But he also gave us the gift of, in the Old Testament, it was prophets, and then it was the apostles, and then it became pastors, servants who were there. God gave them that there would be a fruit, and that would be the fruit of repentance that would be given and taken and used. But not only that, but the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians helps that. Galatians 5, what are the fruits of the Spirit? But love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In his vineyard, in his church, these are the things he have given. But we notice something, just like in Dear Abby, something went horribly wrong. Something went wrong with the gift that they give. That was not what they expected. They didn't expect a Bible, threw it down, and Bill went off. Well, you can assume that here, when it came harvest time, what's expected is usually a celebration. The owner would come and receive the fruits of the, and the tenants would share in it. And these tenants were very faithful. They did what they were supposed to do in as far as tending the vineyard. But something went horribly wrong. Because when God sent those to come for the fruit, what did he do to them? The tenants did something unexpected. They beat some, they stoned, they killed others, threw them out. And then you see it again where they send another one and they threw him out. Have you noticed how incredibly impatient and merciful that this owner has been? And finally, he sends his son. And he too, they kill. So what went wrong? What happened? Somewhere along the line, they got a misconception and misunderstanding of who the owner was. They thought the owner of the vineyard should be one who was willing to do anything at any price. We did all the work, so it belongs to us. It's now ours. We're the ones who should have it. We're the ones who should act in such a way that would even kill the prophets, the apostles, or stone the pastors. Sometimes literally, sometimes with words and deeds. It's a horrible thing to see. But even for a God of mercy who had wanted joy for them, now the joy was put aside because of what they thought God should be. They thought they were the ones who should be in control. They thought the ones that they should be God. Here's the thing in the very sad portion of this. What do you expect of God? As you believe, you shall have. I think it's Luther who said that. If you treat God as one who's interested in getting out of you all the things and just pulling out of you, depriving you of goods, of anything that you get, if you think God is there to grab power, to demand, to pay evil for evil, then that is the God you believe in and the God you know. Then that's the God you will receive in the end. If you treat God as one who is, what's the word I'm looking for? If you believe God is not the one to be trusted in his ways, if you treat him as a threat, as an enemy, then that's the God you will have in the end. You see, God is patient, and he was patient. But finally, when it comes to the last day, if that's the way you want it, if you think evil of God, you will receive him with judgment. I think they said it this way. He will put those wretches to a miserable death. And that is truly the judgment that comes. The gift of the church is a gift that serves all of us. The gift of the church is that which calls us to repentance, so that we receive and enjoy the gifts of life and enjoy with one another the fruits of the Spirit. You see, God doesn't want to be that way. Our God is a God who wants the vineyards of fruit and the wine and the joy that we receive in Christ. Was it not at the beginning of the service we said, I've done things that I shouldn't have done, and I left things undone, and my very nature itself, Lord, is miserable. Amen. And look how the owner of the vineyard responded to you. How he wants to respond to you. How he does respond to you in his Son. You are forgiven of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The gift of the church is a blessed gift. And sometimes it doesn't always work the way we think it should. We don't always think God. Sometimes it acts as if we think God doesn't know what he's doing. And look, I'm going to be honest. I'm not talking about laity only. I'm talking about pastors too. You see this spot back here? Sarah calls that my kissable spot. I lose my hair and I turn in gray, not just because of age, because I get frustrated at times with God. Not quite the God I expect. I'm not always trusting in his ways. But I've also learned this in life. I've learned not to be disappointed in people, because I'm not. I'm disappointed in my expectation of people. But I'm the one who created that expectation. Sometimes I get just frustrated with God because, well, I think I'm frustrated with God. I'm not. I'm frustrated with my expectations of God. Or at least what I think. Do you want to know what to expect of God? Do you know, want to know to look? Certainly God's word, but where it's summed up, what you and I can expect of God and never be disappointed? The creeds. The creed teaches you and me from the culmination of Scripture, what should you expect of God? What should you expect of the Father who created you? What should you expect of the Son who redeemed you? What should you expect of the Holy Spirit who sanctified you? We'll confess together what we can expect of a God who is merciful to us, who loves us and rejoices us with us in the fruit of the harvest of repentance. Probably last thing, I think sometimes we probably act more like Bill. But I'm sure glad the Father of our Heavenly Father still keeps on giving and is very patient with us to draw us back to Himself with the gifts that He gives so that we may have joy with Him in Christ Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Now I invite you to stand, and we now confess what we can expect from God with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible,
and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for the whole people of God and for all people in Christ Jesus according to their needs. Merciful Lord, You have planted us as Your own vineyard, that we might bear good fruit for Your glory. Grant to us grace that we may be faithful and show forth in our lives the good works that glorify You and serve Your purpose. Grant us a willing spirit that we may serve You with all that You have given us in accord with Your will and for Your glory. Lord, in Your mercy, guide us, O Lord, that with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and resources, we may serve You. Give special blessing to the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and to the many ways they bring the good news of Your salvation and the works of Your love across our nation and world. Lord, in Your mercy. Mighty Lord, give to the nations both the desire for and the blessing of peace. Thwart the actions of those who would oppress with power and fear. Bless Donald, our president, Michael, our governor, and all who pass, enforce, and judge our laws. Spare us and our leaders from disease and fear and grant them healing where they are ill. Deliver the poor from want and help us to provide jobs and worthy employment for all. Lord, in Your mercy. Everlasting Father, guide husbands and wives to love and forgive each other and strengthen them in their life together. Bless the homes in which Your people dwell, help parents to be faithful examples for their children, and give room in their hearts and homes so that orphans,
may know the joy of a place and a home to call their own. Lord, in your mercy. God of love, deliver the sick from their illnesses, give relief to the suffering, help the troubled to know peace of mind, and be with the grieving and those in their final days. Guide all healthcare professionals to serve those in need, and give patience to those who must bear with their infirmities, disabilities, and infertility. Hear us especially as we pray for your servants who are physically confined and at home due to their health, John and Perlene, Esther, Bob and Norma, Harold, Betty, Vida, and Teresa. Lord, we pray for those of your children who are recovering from surgeries, illnesses, or other injuries, Donna, Miriam, Elke, Archie, Keith, Lou, Roger, Emma, Carol, Hannah, Michael, Kira, Charlene, Barbara, Sophia, Larry, Richard, Michaela, Sue, Bob, Leslie, Ray, Steve, Donna, Ralph, Robin, Beth, Linda, and Jane. And for those who are also contending with other health issues, grant them peace in their time of distress. Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Arla, David, Russell, Timothy, Amy, Sammy, Ellie, Carol, Brandon, Dennis, Alvin, Yvonne, Farah, Michelle, Lee, Michael, Julia, Sandra, Weston, Tabitha, Lavino, Jessica, Emma, Alicia, Faith, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Roberta, Shirley, Kaylee, Jim, Emma, Sarah, Will, Anthony, Ed, Brady, Rowena, Chelsea, and Ruth Ann. And for those of your dear children who are managing the effects of cancer, Merritt, Beth, Aaron, Stephanie, Connie, David, Joyce, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Louise, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Susan, Robert, Anna, Ron, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, John, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Kent, Al, and Jan. And Lord, we especially pray that you would be with the family of Orville, that you would be their comfort and stay, knowing that he has received the crown of life. Hear us for these your servants and for those we name. Lord, in your mercy. Blessed Lord, keep us from resentful hearts that would begrudge your mercy or live selfishly for ourselves, and teach us to live for you, for the life that you have given us, treasuring in our hearts all that is good and wise and seeking after these things. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, O Lord, and give answer to the prayers of your people, prayed in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, with whom the Father and the Spirit, you are one God and one Lord, forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Now may this true body and blood keep us in faith towards life everlasting. Amen. Body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Take ye, true body of Christ. Amen. Take ye, the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye, the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Take ye the true body of Christ. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Eat the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for all your sins. Thank you. true body of Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take ye the true body of Christ, given for you. Amen. Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given for you. Amen. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Amen. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given unto death for you. Amen. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given for you. Amen. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given for you. Amen.
Take and drink the true blood of our Lord, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord make lift his countenance. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.